Welcome to Tal Prince Live, your Pharisee-free zone, where no topic is off limits and no sin beyond grace. Now your host, Tal Prince.
Well, good evening and happy Memorial Day to you. We're glad to have you with us here. Happy Memorial Day. Just glad to have you with us this weekend. Now, don't miss the real meaning of Memorial Day. I mean, I know that we are to thank our troops, which I am very thankful for. Thank you so much for all of you that are out there and that have military and your families. We so appreciate what you do for our country and for us and those that have given their lives. If you're a family member of someone that has given their life in battle for our country, we thank you for that if they have done so in service of our country. But let's not forget that to take our focus. Don't take our focus away from the one who gave us life so we could all have freedom. That is the true memorial that we must always remember and be in touch with and keep our focus on. So let us give thanks to Jesus Christ who died to give us all freedom. We are happy to have you with us tonight because we have freedom. We can talk about some really touchy topics, which is what we tend to do here at Tal Prince Live. We hope you're enjoying that. Tonight we're going to be back on pornography, but this night we're going to do it from a bit of a different perspective. We're going to be talking tonight with my wife, Teresa. So she is here, and it's going to be a great time together. So if you are a spouse of someone who has or is struggling with pornography or sexual activity outside of your marriage, tonight is your night. We're going to be taking your calls. We're going to be taking your emails and looking forward to hearing from you. You can talk with my wife about how in the world she dealt with everything that I put her through, how she has stayed with me, how God has transformed our marriage. We can talk about all of that tonight. How in the world do you deal with this stuff, right? It's a gargantuan question, one that we are all wrestling with in this world. So know that tonight is your night. Our phone number, 1-800-528-HOPE, 1-800-528-HOPE. Or you can email to hope@talprincelive.com, T-A-L, Prince, as in Charles, live.com. So we look forward to hearing from you. We'll give you anonymity. We'll give you what you need tonight and hopefully get you some answers. So if you're a spouse or you're wondering how in the world do you have that big conversation with your spouse, if this is you that has this struggle, if you're worried about that, this is a great night for you to call in, and we're going to talk about and share our story through that. And I know so many guys stay trapped in this stuff because they're afraid to tell their spouse or someone that they're dating. They're afraid the relationship may end. So we're going to help you with that tonight. So give us a call, 1-800-528-HOPE, or email hope@talprincelive.com. We've got Herbie the Wonder Engineer working the board tonight. We got Casey Hobbs, again, the lonely Casey Hobbs, working in the call screening booth. Give him some friends tonight. He doesn't do well alone. So give him a call. We'd love to hear you tonight. And Jack Landham, my executive producer, is here. And Garrett Irby, very often a call screener. We've got Garrett sitting here tonight. Garrett, how are you doing?
Man, it is a good night here in Birmingham, Alabama tonight. I am super 100 excited about being on a Tal Prince Live show. Either that or I'm just on a sugar high from so many Skittles that I ate.
Well, you know, Skittle addiction can be a bad thing, Garrett. And we might need to talk about that off air. There is a 12-step program for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you're well, man. Did you see the story out of Dallas, Texas this week with the pastor from a large church?
Man, I actually haven't heard anything about that. Tell me a little bit about it, Tal.
Well, and thank you for that lovely setup.
Hey, you're welcome. Anything I can do for you, Prince.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. There is a large church, one of the largest in the Dallas, Texas area. And one of their associate ministers this week, it was actually last week that it went down, but it's really made the news this week. One of their associate ministers got caught in one of these Dateline type stings, where, you know, he was engaged in conversation, that was highly inappropriate, with somebody that was reporting to be 13 years old. And he made arrangements, drove several hours, away from Dallas, away from his home to, go and have, the arrangement was he was going to go and have sex with this, what he thought was a young girl. when they got there, that was absolutely not the case. There were a host of police officers there to talk with him and take him into custody. So we're going to talk about that for a minute when we come back off the break. We're going to be taking your calls tonight, porn from the spouse's perspective, with my wife, Teresa Prince, here on Tal Prince Live, Sirius Satellite 161. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Tal Prince Live here on Sirius Satellite, Family Net Radio, Channel 161. We're so glad to be with you here in the Pharisee-free zone. No topic off limits, no sin beyond the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I know you are thankful for that, just as I am. We started talking just before the break there about a minister in Dallas who got arrested for soliciting sex with a minor, arranging that, went, drove several hours away to go and make that appointment, but he had not been talking with a 13-year-old girl. He had been talking with members of the police department, and he was arrested, taken into custody. And the church shortly thereafter released this statement. This comes from the pastor of that church, that we have requested and received the resignation of this minister, who will remain nameless here, but effective immediately, and he is no longer a member of our staff. We work very hard to earn your trust and maintain the testimony of our congregation in the community. You can be sure that we always make every effort to provide a staff of godly integrity and devotion. I'm confident that our ministers are of the highest character and are faithfully fulfilling their calling with accountability. It goes on a couple paragraphs more, but the thing that just kind of hurts me about this a little bit is there's absolutely no talk about ministering to the minister who has been arrested, who clearly has an issue, who clearly has a problem, who clearly is in need of grace. And I don't know if the church did anything about him or not, and I'm not going to accuse them of not. But I do understand, getting a resignation from somebody arrested in criminal activity. I absolutely understand that. But can they do something to minister to this this minister, family, if he's got one? I'm assuming that he did. What are your thoughts about that? Was that the right thing for the church to do, assuming for a minute that there was nothing extended to him? Has anybody gone to him? What's the right thing for the church to do in that situation? It's something that I get and hear and deal with a lot. A lot of churches call me, with this type of issue, saying, what do we do? What do we do? And it is troubling. I would like to see the church come out with, saying, hey, and this is still a follower of Christ. This is still, an adopted child of God's family, and we need to reach out to him. We need to forgive him. We need to be taking steps to minister to him. He clearly needs it. So what are your thoughts about that? Give us a call. We can talk about that tonight here, 1-800-528-HOPE, or email to hope@talprincelive.com. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to also be into just a great topic tonight that we don't often get to. We get to pornography often here, and I'm happy about that because it's such a big part of my story. But tonight we have the privilege and honor of having my wife, Teresa, sit next to me. Yes, I am actually married, and to the chagrin and surprise of many across the nation. But she is here tonight, and I'm just so thankful to have her with us. And we're going to talk about our journey through pornography addiction, my addiction, and how that affected her, and how we maintained our marriage together, how God kept our marriage together as we walked that journey. So it's going to be a great time tonight. If you're a wife, if you're a spouse that's dealing with this and wondering about this, tonight is a great night for you to call and get great sage advice from my lovely wife, Teresa, who is sitting to my right. Teresa, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thanks.
I had to ask that like I don't know, like I haven't been with you like all day.
Yeah.
But it's great to have you here in the booth. Usually my wife is sitting at home in the kitchen listening to the show. And so we're very glad to have you here tonight. So we're going to talk again about this from her perspective. And so we just look forward to hearing what y'all have to say tonight. And babe, let me just start with, what was the most hurtful part of my addiction to you?
The most hurtful part you know, on the surface, I would say the lies, but really it was that you made me feel crazy and paranoid. And, you know, how dare could I say those things, think those things. And deep down I knew, but yeah, you made me feel crazy.
yeah, you don't have to back off on that, baby.
Well, for the, you know, now we're post-counseling, so it's easy to look. But it took me a year after being in counseling to be able to tell Tao how hurtful and, you know, that I was angry about that and just how deep that hurt.
Yeah, it's a standard operating procedure of addicts everywhere to make anyone that would dare accuse us, we're going to go quickly on the offense and make you feel like a complete wingnut. That's just standard operating procedure for us. We're going to say, how dare you even accuse me of such a thing? I don't know where you get off accusing me. You must be crazy. This is something that we do, and I obviously did to my wife, Teresa, here. How did you deal with that, babe, during that time?
There were a few times when I would call your mom because she was a safe place. I knew that she loved you and that, you know, anything I talked to her about would be safe. But most of the time I talked to myself, talked under my breath that God is a righteous judge, because I was dealing with such frustration and just anger that I couldn't express to you and really didn't know what to do with. I had to keep it to myself, or at least I felt like at that time I did. Yeah. And so clinging to the fact that God was a righteous judge was what I had.
Yeah. I clearly did that. Anytime you questioned me, you know, about that, I know I just went on heavy offense mode and, you know, either got really angry at you or, you know, just made you feel like, how in the world, you know, could you dare question me about anything like this? How do you think that your family upbringing, how do you think that influenced your reactions to me?
Oh, I think I was perfectly created for a sex addict, particularly, really. My parents divorced when I was 8, so I immediately went into a step family a year later, and I heard probably hundreds of times, you be the bigger person. You're the peacemaker. It's a bigger person. So I thought it was really an honorable thing to forgive and not to require an I'm sorry back. And looking back now, I see how that was just perfect for your addiction. And also in addictive families, they center around an addictive personality, the addictive person. And I had a lot of that growing up, if you know, with step siblings. And then it seemed like most days, whether the day was going to be good or bad, depended on other people in my family, not if I woke up in a happy mood or a sad mood. And I've since learned about, you know, enablers, and they often act like caretakers, which was me, keeping everyone happy, trying to keep the family moving and balanced, and, you know, willing to make excuses and not really address the real issue. And while I wasn't wanting to make excuses, I took yours hook, line, and sinker and ran with them.
Which worked well for me.
Yeah.
that was very convenient for me during that time. Actually, though, it was very bad that it worked that way. And you know, there's something that you said there that, you know, and I think so many of us are brought up to, well, you know, you just forgive. You can't really forgive, you know, so much when there's not any, you know, repentance before you. It's very, very difficult, because I never told you I'm sorry. And so what I think often you felt was, well, I'll be the bigger person and I'll forgive, was really actually more enabling behavior to me than anything else.
Yeah. Now I wasn't forgiving. I was letting it go. And letting it go and the forgiveness are huge. And, you know, for the enabler, there's huge feelings of inadequacy, fear, and hopelessness. And that, you know, inadequacy was all over the place, because I knew from the emails I would see with those pictures that I was not dressing and didn't want to dress like the girls I saw in those pictures, wasn't built like the girls I saw in those pictures. So it really made me feel like I wasn't racy enough. And then your mind starts to just tell you, you know, and I grew up my basement. There was a, you know, closet full of Playboys. So part of me was saying, why am I mad that he sees this stuff? You know,
this
I grew
normal.
Up and I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what guys do.
So, I mean, if I know those have been around, why should it be different for Tao? And now I know why it should be different. But
yes, it should be highly different for Tao and for you, by the way, listening.
Yeah. And the feelings of fear. I came from a divorced family. My parents divorced when I was 8, like
right,
I said.
Right.
And I didn't want to repeat that. So that worked to the... when you were addicted to your addiction, because you could do a whole lot, and I was staying And I think God used that, and I'm really grateful that, God used it that way, because we're here today. But and the helplessness, I tried to confront you before, and there was no winning. I mean, I would try, and I would leave feeling guilty and feeling bummed, and you know, feeling like I was expecting too much, and so I did feel helpless, and that's where the, you know, God is a righteous judge. That's all I had to cling to.
It's tough to be in that slot, and you know, and I know I've told you this before, but you know, I'm just so sorry that I put you there.
I know.
And you know, it's just a big part of it. You know, I mean, it's what we do. You know, I mean, addicts are, you know, a lot of us are perfectionists, and we don't want it. It's not so much, you know, that we're, you know, that we don't want anyone to know what we're doing. It's that we don't want anyone to know that we're doing anything wrong. And there was never a time where I thought porn was perfectly cool. You know, I mean, I can't let anyone know that I'm doing anything wrong, let alone someone who's close to me. And, you know, when we were dating, you know, I remember you talking at length about, you know, I wouldn't be with anyone that would go to strip clubs. And I'm like, oh, crap, I'm screwed here. I better not say anything. But I didn't want to be without you. And, you know, because I knew you were the one for me, but I couldn't bear to be without you or the thought of it. So I knew, okay, I might have to keep this on the down low. You know, never let you know that this is what's going on, you know, because you would leave. And, you know, I was scared to death of that and didn't want you to leave me. And so this is a cycle that addicts get into. And so we're left with the option of, you know, risk that special person to us leaving or lying. And for years, I obviously chose the lying method, you know, and when you caught me, I would just completely go on the offense. And I know that was, you're well acquainted with that. So we're getting ready to go to a break here, and we've got a caller on the line. We're going to come to you, CJ, here in just a second when we come back from the break. We're going to roll back here in just a few minutes and after this commercial, and we'll come to you. Great question coming up from CJ, how to deal with this problem in the church. We're going to come to you when we come back from this commercial break here on Towel Prince Live, taking your phone calls tonight and emails from the spouse's perspective, 1-800-528-HOPE. We'll see you on the other side of this break. Prince Live here on Family Net Radio. Hey, do me a favor. Let the folks at Family Net Radio know that you appreciate the show. You know, it takes a lot of courage for Christian radio these days to run a show like ours, and they've got it. And I want them to be rewarded for that. So please give them a call, an email, and let them know that you appreciate them running a show like this, because I promise you, we're the only thing like this on their air. So it's very courageous. So please call them, email them, let them know. Their website is familynet.com. Okay, so give them a call, email, hit them up, let them know you appreciate it. And we would appreciate you doing that as well. And we're broadcasting tonight from Southeastern Bible College in Birmingham, Alabama. And they have a great website that you might want to check out. It is sebc.edu. Strongly recommend you check out that site, especially if you're looking for a Bible college education for someone in your family, or if you're thinking about that yourself. Come down to lovely Birmingham, Alabama. It is a very well-kept secret. I will promise you that. So we'd love to have you here in Birmingham. And also, go to our website, and that's talprincelive.com. You can check out archive broadcasts there. You can also get to my blog through there. If you want to go directly to my blog, you can do that, and that's talprince.blogspot.com. Love to have you swing by there and interact with me there. I love to interact with folks, so please feel free to do that, and we'll look forward to interacting with you there. And you can call in. Tonight, we are dealing with porn from the spouse's perspective. That's going to be our primary focus tonight. And my wife, Teresa, here sitting in the booth with me. And you can call us at 1-800-528-HOPE, 1-800-528-HOPE. Or if you need to, you can email us. And that is at hope@talprincelive.com. We check that throughout the show. We'll get your question on air. And if you want to call and need anonymity, we're happy to give that to you. We don't, you know, we're not going to ask for your name and Social Security number. And we're not going to, you know, take out an ad in your local paper letting folks know you called the show. All right, so just give us a call. We look forward to talking with you. And we've got a caller on the line. We've got CJ in Kansas who's got a question about how to deal with a problem in the church. CJ, how are you tonight? Welcome to Tal Prince Live.
I'm pretty good, thank you. Good evening to you guys. My question and a comment is in regards to the guy who is at this mega church in Dallas.
Yeah.
And my question is, have we in the church, being brothers and sisters in Christ, become so unapproachable that this guy didn't feel that he could go to either his pastor or someone else in the congregation to kind of help him through this problem or to even speak with him about this problem?
You are the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
You are already our best caller ever on
Tal
Prince Live. That is fantastic. I could not agree with you more, CJ. I really couldn't. I mean, I think this is such a big driver because I get calls all the time from churches and from pastors who are struggling with this type of issue and other things. But we've kind of created this environment in the church where the ministry staff must be perfect, which we all know is not even close to possible. But they're not allowed to be broken. They're not allowed to be sinners. They're not allowed to, as our guest from last week, Dan Allender, says, they're not able to lead with a limp. They're not able to be imperfect before us. And,
exactly.
And you know, as a pastor, myself, I tell the folks at the church that I pastor all the time, listen, I'm going to disappoint you. Don't put your faith and trust in me. It's not going to go well. We need to keep our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the only hope that any of us ever have. And so many times churches have that culture where someone on staff can't say to anyone else, hey, I got a problem and I might need some help with this. Because ministry is one of these careers. It's one of the few and only careers that if this is your problem, you're without a job.
Exactly.
You know, out you go, and it's very, very difficult. And so if you've got a family and you've got, you know, people depending upon you to put food on the table, your choice is, do I try and keep this, you know, under wraps and not let anybody know, or do I risk coming out and trying to get some help, you know, and risk my career and risk everything? And, you know, you've gone to school, you've gone through years of extra training, and you don't know what else to do. So many people have been in ministry their whole lives. They have no clue what else they're even geared to do.
Yes. Well, my prayers are definitely with him and his family, as
Thank
well
you.
As the church. I hope that they do reach out to him and give him some type of counseling and just don't kick him out of the church and, you know, just leave him to the wayside.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and I couldn't agree more with you. And so thank you so much, CJ, for calling in. We're glad to have spoken with you tonight.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, goodbye.
Baby, you had I saw you waving your hand.
I had a hand raised.
I see that hand.
Well, I was just, as she called and you all were talking about that, I think so many times the churches, in response to the, oh, my goodness, want to keep that image. Just like in a family, image is everything. And so the church is trying so hard to keep that perfect image that they forget about the people in the seats that are struggling with the same thing that pastor was. If their pastor was struggling, can you imagine how many people, how many lay people are in that church are struggling with the same thing? And so I think churches and, you know, if you're in a place in a church where you can have influence, when something like this happens, everything you say is being watched so closely by families who are struggling with this. And so it's really an opportunity to reach out to them and to minister to them and give them a safe place to come. And your church can be completely just transformed and I think energized if they can, people can start being real.
But they
have to feel safe.
Yeah, got to feel safe. You know, there's nobody exempt from sin in the church. And let me just hop on one of my favorite particular soapboxes, and that is there's no point scale for sin, folks. There's nothing in the Bible that's going to point out that, well, this is worse than that, and this is worse than that. I'm not exactly sure where it got created, but I'm telling you, it's one of the most destructive things inside the church that we've ever created, that we've ever had, because people just feel like, well, this is worse than that. And like our guest Dan Allender last week, you know, he was talking about this stuff, and somebody, you know, got up to ask him a question and said, well, you know, I've struggled in my life, but I'm not nearly as bad as you. Because Allender is very open about he's been addicted to every substance and process known to mankind. But because this pastor didn't feel like he had any of those, he didn't feel like he'd had any bad struggles in his in his life. And that's against the Sermon on the Mount. It's against the words of Jesus. Jesus is so clear that it's not about what you do that I'm so much interested in. I'm interested in your heart. If I can get your heart and change you from the inside, your behavior is going to follow. Mm-hmm. And we've got to create a safe environment so that people can come out and get help with whatever they're dealing with. Right. And, you know, you and I learned so well that it's shame that drives the cycle. And so anywhere where we're putting shame on folks, you can count on there being a lot of issues. And I don't know of many other environments where shame is more prevalent than in the church today. It's just a breeding ground for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and in Romans 8:28, that God can work all things together for good, that those who love him and mm-hmm. are called according to his purpose. And a church, you know, with this happening, if the church could reach out to him and use it as part of their ministry, revival could just happen. I mean, it would be incredible. Yeah. So I think, you know.
Yeah, I've got a guy that I'm working with right now. He is, he's a worship minister, has been for most of his life, and he is looking at the very real and probable threat of incarceration, and for an offense of this nature. And but here's this guy who has been working in the gospel his whole life, but says to me, now that I'm faced with incarceration, I feel freer now than ever because my secret's out. And I think for the first time in my life, I'm really understanding the gospel, the response of most has been to throw him out and get rid of him. And it's such a problem. And this shame and this type of unforgiveness that we've got as a culture, it's killing churches, folks. It's an acid. It is an acid running through the body of Christ that we have just got to get rid of. So we're happy to take some more calls on that, more calls on porn from the spouse's perspective. We're talking to my wife, Teresa, here, and you can give us a call, 1-800-528-HOPE, 1-800-528-HOPE, or email us at hope@talprincelive.com. Hon, we were talking before the break there that, we were talking about these different things, but how did you feel, when I was in active addiction and I wasn't, I wasn't admitting to any of that. I would just go on the offense and make you feel nuts. I mean, did you have any place you felt you could turn?
No, there was nowhere. I checked email, but it wasn't like, Google and looking up every single thing online. It just wasn't something you did then. So, I mean, it was just me and the little bit that I told your mom. But, I really only called your mom when you were traveling overseas and I couldn't get in touch with you all night. And I would call the front desk and say, he's in there, slip something under the door.
Let me tell you about my wife. There's one thing she hates more than anything in this world. It is a busy signal. Okay. She will come through the phone at a busy signal. Trust me. But at this time, if you're in a room, looking at the internet, you're using the phone line. You only got one phone line in the room. And so I'd be in the hotel, looking at pornography on the internet, and she'd be trying to call me. Well, I didn't know she was trying to call me. And at that point, didn't really care because I was looking at porn because that was my medicine, and I was going to that. And so she would a couple of times, no kidding, she called the front desk and said, oh, he's in there. And a couple of times people from the front desk would come up and knock on the door and slip notes under the door. My wife is a very persistent lady.
Yeah, he would joke, and you haven't said in a long time because you're not hiding stuff, but that I would be a great prosecuting attorney.
Oh, hey, look, she'd be the best, man. And Barry Page, if you're listening by any fluke of nature, I'm saying my wife's a better DA than you. Trust me. So she's tough, man. Just the rapid fire questions. So she's fantastic. And we're going to
still couldn't win a fight.
Well, we're going to come back. I will talk about that. I disagree. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Tal Prince live on Sirius Satellite 161. Give us a call, 1-800-528-HOPE. We'll be right back. All right, a little Wilco for you on a Sunday night on Memorial Day weekend in the United States, and we want to welcome our Canadian listeners. We're glad to have you with us, and just so you know, that 800 number works for you too, okay? That'll work. So 1-800-528-HOPE. We'd love to hear from the Great White North tonight. You can also email us, and we'll look forward to hearing from you all. I do want to recommend to you a website and a package that I use in coming out of my addiction to pornography to help me online, to help me with accountability. It's called Covenant Eyes. You hear us talk about it most every week here if you're a regular listener, and it is a great package. And you can go to our website, talprincelive.com, click on the banner ad, and get a 30-day free trial. This is accountability software so that you can have as many partners as you would like, as many accountability partners as you would like. List them, and they will send an email to those partners every week of every website you've been to. That's really, really helpful, okay? The internet is really not a place you want to be alone on, okay? So you need to know that brothers and sisters are watching your back, and they're with you, and they're there. So please go look them up. I can't recommend them to you enough. And also, if you're interested in having some good conferences in your area, check with Ruth Graham and friends. They come through with conferences. I'm a part of that team. Love to do that. I'm also available to come speak to your group, your church, your area. Love to do that. Do a lot of that. So we'd love to come see you. And so you can get in touch with me at the website, hope@talprincelive.com. And we would love to come see you and talk about this issue and many others. But let me get back here. We're talking about porn from the spouse's perspective with my lovely wife, Teresa. So give us a call if you're a spouse and wanting help with this. 1-800-528-HOPE. Babe, did you ever feel pressure to cover for me?
Subconsciously, yes. I didn't realize at the time, oh, now we're leaving the house. I've got to pretend like everything's great. It just happened.
Yeah.
And you know, we went to seminary together, and we actually started seminary, and Tal still hadn't admitted to pornography. And if we heard once, we heard 100 times, y'all are such a good team. You're just best friends. It's, and we are best friends.
Thank you for pointing that out.
No.
We were.
But until you've met someone that's honest about this struggle, everyone seems to talk about a dream marriage. You know, they don't talk about the parts that are hurtful and confusing and manipulative. And so yeah, I did. I was an image keeper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All day. You know, it's what we do. People thought, y'all are just the greatest couple, and y'all never disagree about anything, and y'all never fight. And we didn't. We just really didn't have many arguments. The only arguments that were even close were, you know, if she caught something on the computer and wanted to ask me a question, and then I just went complete and total offense. But rarely did we disagree about any other thing. But we did. We just didn't share that with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of, each of us kind of buried that just to, try and get along, as opposed to, solving conflict together. Mm-hmm. We just didn't learn how to do that very well. But how difficult did that get for you?
Oh, it got bad. And I'm sure you've shared about anxiety attacks and panic attacks, depression. It was just, and I was, talking to your mom earlier, it was one of those things where you'd have anxiety attacks and you would just lay on the sofa, basically incapacitated. And you were so depressed.
They're awful.
When you came out of that, the last thing I was going to do was come at you with, well, I think you're doing this, and I think I saw this, and
okay,
what about
now
this?
That's over.
Because, I mean, seriously, there were times I worried, and there were times you felt like just saying you couldn't do it and suicide. And so that was such an emotional thing for me to carry. And it was just a way, too, that the subject never got addressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or rarely got addressed.
Yeah, and the panic attacks are a very real, you know, issue. They were for me, and I think it goes back to Psalm 32, you know, with David. You know, the more I kept my sin in, it was just eating away at me. But when I let it out, then everything cleared out, mm-hmm. you know. And but until I did that, it was just, you know, this stuff was just eating me alive inside.
It was really incredible to see once you confessed and once we, you know, knew, put everything out on the table, how your health improved. There's no more panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just such a transformation on that.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. How did you feel that day that I finally just, you know, let it out and confessed to you?
Relieved. You know, I'd said deep down I knew, but finally it was like you were telling me I wasn't crazy. You didn't say that. You said, I need to tell you something awful. You're not going to be able to ever love me. You won't want to be with me. I just can't keep this anymore. And that setup was great because I was like, no, I'm not going to make you break, you know, but I really think God was in that moment. We had been in counseling class together and learned how common an issue this is, which helped, because I knew I wasn't alone. Like I had felt,
yeah,
I didn't
either.
Know any of the people in it with me, but I knew from the facts that they had given us that I wasn't alone. And, so I remember then just telling you, if Christ could forgive you, then I can forgive you. And and I know on the surface that may seem like a real, you know, Band-Aid answer. But for the time, it's what God gave us, because the option was forgive you like Christ forgave you or run from the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And running from the marriage wasn't the option. And I wasn't equipped with how to handle it. Neither of us were. And we sat there kind of looking at each other saying, okay, now what? And we said, should we tell your mom? And that answer took a little bit. And then we said, well, how about if God can ever use this, then we'll share it. Otherwise, this is ours.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay.
Yeah. We didn't know whether or not at that point to tell my mom and sometimes co-host as to whether or not we ought to, you know, talk about that. You know, but yeah, then we kind of got to this, well, okay, let's make this deal. Because I know none of you listening have ever negotiated with God. But we made this deal that says, hey, look, if God can ever use this, then we'll talk about it. Until then, not so much. And so here we are on the radio talking in North America to an audience, a potential audience of over 8.5 million folks. So, hi, here we are. there's no mask left here on, you know, on this stuff. And but so, I mean, so then, I mean, did you feel like, I mean, what was your gut at that point? Did you feel like we knew where to turn? You know, what, I mean, what, you know, what did we do?
Oh, no. It was almost a state of shock. I mean, I was relieved to know that there was honesty to it now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we weren't equipped with anything. Mm-hmm. And we had been through the counseling classes, but we really didn't know of resources.
No.
And we didn't know then that we were image keepers. You know, we got into it took 2 years after Tal confessed to it all before we got into counseling. And it was in counseling that... Well, right before counseling that I learned that hallmark of addicted families is keeping the image at all costs.
Yeah.
And that really unlocked it for me because I was able to look through not only our marriage, but our families and see where image really was put above issues and problems and how the image was tearing, just really hurtful and dangerous. And I would look at our girls and think, oh, no, I don't want them to keep an image that's going to tear them up like this, that's going to lead them to a sex addict. And you know, I'm glad that I have you. But
I don't want to marry someone like you.
No, I'm so glad that I have you. But
I
wouldn't choose this path for our daughters.
No, me either. Trust me. And any guy that's going to try and date them is in for just a world of pain.
extrapremarital counseling for you.
Yeah. And trust me, I know the tricks, man. You know, yeah, I know them all too well. You know, let me ask you this. You know, do you think that, you know, when this happens, that, you know, one spouse confesses or gets caught, either way, do you think like redemption comes around too fast sometimes?
Yeah. Well, I think, and I've said for a while, I think there's a big difference between getting caught and coming clean. Getting caught, the wives that I've talked to, because I know that there's women who struggle with this and that the men are the enablers or the victim side of it. But getting caught, the wives, they talk to me at first, they're devastated, they're angry, they're all of those things. And then I'll talk to them a week later, following up with them, and they've got their dream husband. He's coming home from work on time. He's helping to cook dinner. He's spending more time with the family.
Looking to get out of the doghouse.
Right. Get the pressure off so they can get back to their computer. It's almost like they're talking to me like, oh, yeah, but we're not as bad as y'all were.
We're not as bad as y'all.
And, you know, and I just sit there in my heart and I feel so sad because I know that it's not over like that. Now, God can heal us and free us. But so far, God hasn't brought those people into our lives to minister to. And, you know, one couple in particular, that exact, you know, what I just shared. And, you know, now they're in the middle of a terrible divorce. Mm-hmm. And it's worse than, you know, we had ever experienced. And so it's just hard. And I would just, and then coming clean, if your husband comes clean to you, you both have such an incredible opportunity to work on your marriage. He's bottomed out. He wants help. Or if your wife has come clean to you, she's bottomed out. She wants help. Go to counseling. Find a good Christian counselor and get on it. And one thing that we learned about in counseling was running across that mat, the mouse and the cheese. And it's worth, don't turn around and come back when it starts to feel hard.
Yeah, what she's talking about, what she's talking about there is there was an experiment done with a mouse. And, you know, PETA will be angry. But they starved this poor mouse for a little bit, and then they put him in a tunnel and with cheese at one end and, you know, the mouse at the other end. And as the mouse would start to run towards the cheese, because, you know, he's hungry, he would start to run towards the cheese. And as he got toward the middle, they had an electrical pad under there, and they would shock the mouse. And, you know, and so as soon as the mouse got shocked, he would turn right back around and go back to where he was. And this would just go on and on. The mouse would do that until he became fairly despondent and would just kind of go sit until he got hungry enough so that he was too hungry to and he would endure the pain because he was so hungry. And then he would shoot across and go all the way over the pad and get to the cheese. And that's what so many of us need to do. It's tough, but you've got to be willing to endure the pain there. And we're going to talk a little bit more when we come back here on Talent Prince Live, Sirius Satellite, Channel 161. All right, welcome back to Talent Prince Live here on a Memorial Day weekend. We're so glad to have you with us, as we are every single week. Thanks so much for listening. And we also want to give a big thanks to those that are sponsoring our broadcast, Ezekiel, which is a great website. If you need a website of your own, especially if you're a church, they do a great job with church websites. Highly recommend them to you. Also, our friends at Big Fish Coffee, John Herring and the crew down there, we thank you so much for your support of the show. It's great coffee. If you're at a church with bad coffee, please give Big Fish a shot, man. It's much better coffee, and it's coffee with a cause. They will donate part of the money that you spend with them to a fund of your designation that they work with. They have several options for you to choose from, and you can also fund your own church's mission trips with that. So please give them a shot. BigFishCoffee.com. Go check them out. Strongly recommend them to you, as well as Long's Electronics. This is not someone who's just selling electronic equipment. This is a solid believer and follower of Christ. He's doing a lot with churches. Strongly recommend that you swing by his website and check them out at Long's Electronics. You can get to them also through our website, TalladPrinceLive.com. And next week on the show, Shane Claiborne, activist and author. Most recent book out that is called Jesus for President. An interesting title. And Shane is a very interesting guy. I'm so excited to have him on, and I know you're going to enjoy listening to him when we get here next week for that. So tell your friends Shane Claiborne next week, and we'll look forward to having you with us. Wrapping up here with my precious and lovely wife, Teresa, want to hit a couple of issues here that we've talked about a lot in our household, and that is what effect all of this has had on how we raise our precious two daughters.
I'd say there's two things. Not shaming them and not saying you've disappointed me, but that was a bad choice.
Yeah.
Or way to go, that was such a good choice. And then the other really big thing is secrets. And you know, we see it in the kids' shows, how many, you know, just cartoon characters will say, "Hey, can you keep a secret?" And our girls now say, "We don't keep secrets."
That's right.
But we don't keep secrets because there's so much danger.
Secrets kill.
And they're not good in the marriage. They're not good for the children.
No.
But we have surprises because surprises always come out. What you got mommy for her birthday, what you're giving your teacher. Those are all surprises, right. And we've told them if they hear a secret to come home, and we'll have a secret party, that whenever we hear a secret, we all come home and share it, and we have a party so that they can get used to sharing it in a fun,
safe
environment. And so if they are ever told a secret that's awful, hopefully they'll come home and we'll have a party, and then we'll address it.
Yeah, and folks, you really need to incorporate that into your parenting. If you are a parent of children, in this day and age with as many predators that are out there lurking for our children, you need to be very deliberate and on guard about this. And one of the major things that predators use is the concept of a secret. You and I need to keep this a secret. Don't tell your mommy and daddy about this. And I'm telling you, our kids are so trained that if anybody uses the word secret around them, they cannot wait to get home and tell us. There are no secrets allowed in our house. We have surprises. So we don't even have secret presents. It's like, you know, if this is, well, I got this present for mommy, let's keep that a secret. We just don't even use the term. We've made that term something that's just not healthy, because it's not. The enemy uses secrets to keep us trapped. I know that he used that with me for my life, as an active addict. I just had secrets. Everything was a secret. So we don't allow secrets in the house. We don't allow secrets in the family. And we strongly urge you to do the same. There's just nothing good that's ever going to come out of it. Trust me on that. And we also really specialize with them to keep shame out of the equation, because shame drives all addiction, okay? It drives everything. It is the fuel in the engine of addiction. So whatever you can do to keep it out of there, don't make your kids feel bad for who they are. Make them understand there's good choices, bad choices, and consequences for those. Want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. Teresa, it's been great to have you here.
Thank you.
And what a great guest. We'll talk more.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week with author, activist Shane Claiborne. This has been Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite 161. We'll see you next week.